Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting Podcast. Visit our website at www.oalaig.org, where you'll find three separate speaker feeds with over 300 speaker files, links for you to subscribe to the podcast, and a place where you can donate to keep this special service active. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Jim.
Okay, I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm Jim. And I'm really excited to be here. I mean, I'm not loaded or anything. I'm just excited to be here. And so I'm going to share my journey through Overeaters Anonymous and with you. What got me here and what changed me and what the result of this program has been on me. How I am today, kind of deal, you know. Anyway, let's see. Gee, I couldn't believe all the questions you asked me. I wasn't sure how to answer them. Like, are you a 100-pounder? Different, four or five different questions there, except for one. And it says, are you gay or lesbian? And I know for sure I'm not a lesbian. I know that for sure. So, anyway, getting that cleared up. The other stuff I'm not so sure. But anyway, I'm going to start here with my story here. Now, I wasn't a compulsive overeater when I first came in here at all. I mean, I thought I had a weight problem, and you guys are going to help me solve it. And so if I were to describe myself today, I would say that I'm a full-blown compulsive overeater. And so this disease, I guess, has come in through my ears by listening to you guys. You know, it's completely changed my attitude, diametrically opposed to what I thought when I first came in here. It's a whole different thing. And so when I came in, I thought, geez, I got this weight problem. If I can lose this weight, things will be okay. But then I said, hey, wait a minute. I've lost weight before and things weren't okay. Not only were they not okay, they were worse than they were before I lost the weight. So I was very confused as to what was going to happen to me in OA. Today I understand what I didn't understand that then, is that is that I'm suffering from a disease of compulsive overeating. Which, if it's a disease, which I believe it is, I don't know if you do, it makes it a medical problem rather than a psychological or psychiatric type of dilemma, okay? And so I thought, well, if it's a medical problem, why isn't there a medical solution? Well, there just isn't. There's a lot of diseases and that there aren't medical solutions for. So what we offer here in OA, or what I've come to embrace, is that what we have here is a spiritual solution to a medical problem. And that doesn't make sense to a lot of people when they're new, because they've got other issues on their mind. And but it works. That's how I understand it and how it works, okay? So, let's see. I'll tell you a little bit about I guess you'd call them eating patterns. I was kind of a kind of guy. I worked hard, and I drank hard, and I ate hard. I did everything. I was just that kind of guy. And so I could have a very normal breakfast, and I'd go to work, nothing until lunchtime, have pretty normal lunch, and nothing until dinner, and I'd have dinner, pretty nice dinner, no problem. And then it would get to be around 7 or 7:30 in the evening, and I just eat everything in the house, including the furniture. I mean, I just could not stop. I mean, the stress of the day set in, and man, I was on a mission, and I would get trays full of food, and I'd carry them into my den and turn off the lights and sit in front of that TV and eat that food and go get another tray, and I'd eat until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning until I finally just passed out and went to sleep, and I'd get up at 7 o'clock. And I always, well, why do I do that? I can't understand it. So what confused me then doesn't anymore. But at any rate, that was an example of what I was doing prior to coming to OA. So I don't have a lot of time here. I can't tell you every single episode of what I did, but I just want to give you an idea that I am in fact a compulsive overeater. I'm suffering from a disease of compulsive overeating. Now I don't have an eating disorder. What I have is a stopping disorder. And there are two different distinct things. To me, an eating disorder, again, is a psychological or psychiatric problem. And if I had that, if I had an eating disorder, I would probably go to a psychologist or a therapist or something. And I possibly could get that resolved. But a stopping disorder, to me, is a totally different thing. I don't have a stop switch. I have an abnormal reaction to this disease of compulsive overeating. And so the reason I say I don't have an eating disorder is this. I never noticed that I had any problem eating. My problem was stopping. And so I describe what was wrong with me as a stopping disorder. Okay? That's how I carried on my life, pretty much. For many, many years. I didn't. I'm now looking at 70 years old here, November 20th. So I'm an old man now, I guess. So anyway, as you can tell, I took a 14-year candle. So I was relatively old when I first got to OA, and I had been doing this type of eating all my life, as far back as I can remember. So. My sponsor in another program actually was a medical doctor. He was a doctor, and when I first got here, I thought I was depressed. I thought, that's why I'm depressed. No wonder I eat. And so I ended up getting this. This was before I came to OA. No. And so I had this doctor as my sponsor, and I thought, well, this is great because now I can get a prescription from him to help me with this depression. And so I went to him one day and I said, "Say, Paul, you know, I'm a little depressed here. You know, I'm just getting sober, and I'm still compulsively overeating. I'm a mess, really." And I thought it'd be nice if you could write me a little prescription for something, you know, to try to hold me over. And, of course, he had been in recovery many years, and he would have no part of that whatsoever. And he said, "By the way, Jim," he said, "you know, I've had some bouts of depression in my life, too, in recovery when I first was new." And he said, "What I do is I exercise to alleviate, and I found that alleviates my depression, so I don't have to take any medication." And he said, "I would suggest you start exercising." And I thought to myself, "Well, hell, I'm not that depressed." And, but anyway, it was a turning point for me because I was then willing. I'm starting to learn to take direction from a sponsor and do things contrary to what I think should be done. And that made no sense to me. Exercise, what the hell's that got to do with anything? But I did it. You see, I did it. And I'll talk some more about that later. But anyway. So I'm cruising along, I'm sober, I'm still, I've got emotional, I've got this depression, and I'm eating like a madman, and finally this doctor says, "Why don't you go to OA? Why don't you go to OA? It seems like you've got a compulsive overeating problem." And I said, "Well, I never thought I did." And OA, I can't imagine I would fit into OA. But again, I was willing to go for no other reason at that point except to prove him wrong that I didn't belong here with you guys. And so off I trotted to a meeting, and of all things, I end up in a men's meeting where they have breakfast during the meeting. And there, this meeting's still going, by the way, as far as I know. But anyway, that was my first meeting. I'm thinking to myself, there was very little recovery in there, and I'm looking around the room, and these guys are eating like it's no tomorrow, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe I'm a very mild compulsive overeater, but I'm not like these guys. I'm not like you guys. I just, this is no way I'm that bad. And so I got a bad attitude is what it was. And so I went back to this doctor and I told him, I said, listen, I understand I've got a problem here. I agree with you. But I'm not as sick as these guys. I'm not as sick as you guys. I'm just not. I don't belong here. And he said, okay. He said, don't. He said, I'm not going to bring it up again. He said, I'm not going to bring it up again. I thought, oh, God, thank God, because this guy just bored in on you every time you get in. So that was the end of the OA thing for a while. And so this is a progressive disease, and it gets worse. And as I say, I was getting later in life. My health was starting to fail as a result of this. I had had a multitude of heart operations. I contracted onset diabetes. As I say, I've been wrestling with this depression. And so as time went by, I was getting worse. And I guess maybe after a year or so, here comes this doctor again. He said, listen. He said, I told you I wouldn't bring this up again. I knew it was going to I knew this was going to be it again. He said, listen, why don't you try going back to OA? But this time, why don't you try changing your attitude? And I thought, well, I didn't think anything was wrong with my attitude the first time I went to OA. But I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it one more time. And he said, I'm not going to bring it up again. I said, well, you said that last time, but I'm not going to bring it up again. And I'm going to go back with a good attitude. I'm going to prove to him that I do not belong in this room with you guys. I'm going to prove it. And so off I went to a meeting in Laguna Hills, and I stood outside that room before the meeting started, and I thought, well, I'm going to get myself in a good attitude here and do just exactly what he said to do. And so I did. I changed my attitude. In fact, I like the... In AA, they say AA is altered attitudes. That's what that's altered attitudes. So in OA, I like to think back on that situation. That's overhauled attitude. OA, see? So anyway, I overhauled my attitude. I went into that room and I introduced myself to some people and set up some chairs. I knew the routine, what to do, and gee, you guys just all seemed like you were. It was a whole different experience. I kind of fit in this time, and so I thought, boy, this is really going good. And it was suggested to me that I get an OA sponsor by this doctor. So I thought, boy, this is not so bad after all. You know, maybe you guys have got something for me. So I got a sponsor, and I was off. I was off. And I was coming. So anyway, my first sponsor was a guy named Scott Redman, who some people in this room knew. And Scott told me, he said, Jim, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, this was my first day that I was at. So he said, I'll tell you what. He said, why don't you call me before you do something? Call me before you do something. He said, don't call me after you do it, because I can't help you then. He says, call me before you do it. I said, okay, I'll do that, Scott. With no expectation that anything was going to happen. And so I went home, and of course my day, you know, went like I described, no problem. Got to the evening, 7:30. I got up and I headed for that kitchen, just like I'd always done, you know. And so I got in that kitchen and I had my cell phone with me, and I thought, well, that Scott guy said to call him before I do something. And so I said, well, I'll give him a call. I don't know what he could possibly say that would deter me from what I'm going to do, but I'll give him a call. So I called him up and I said, hey, Scott, this is Jim, and I'm in the kitchen and I'm getting ready to do what I always do, and I told you I'd call you before I did it. I don't know what you could possibly say that would deter me from what I'm going to do, but I'm willing to listen. And so we had a very short conversation, which I don't remember very well, except for the last part before he hung up when he said, "You better start praying." And I put the phone away. Praying, you know, what possibly good, what does that have to do with anything? But I thought, I'll do it. I'll do it. It's not going to stop anything, but I'll do it. So I couldn't really think of a prayer at that time. And so I said, "God, relieve me of this obsession to compulsively overeat." That's all I could think to say. "God, relieve me of this obsession to compulsively overeat." And I stood in that kitchen for, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes, just stood there. And I walked out of that kitchen, and I have been abstinent from that day to this. It was over 14 years ago now. And so, I would like to say to new people that, I don't know, I guess that's some kind of a spiritual experience deal. I'm not quite sure. But what I can tell you for certain is that I was not struck abstinent at that moment. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here talking to you. That got me through that day. But what I learned from that experience was this, that I could now make contact with my higher power and engage him in helping me, sharing my problem with him and finding a solution. That's what I learned. That's all I learned. So I continued to expand on that idea. I caught that idea right away, that there was some kind of a spiritual solution I could tap into to get abstinent. So I had my sponsor, I'm working the steps with him, I developed a food plan, and I'm off and I'm going. And it's really going well. Now, getting back to this old doctor guy, told me to go exercise, which I wanted no part of. I decided, again, I was, I think, 255 pounds at that point. I'd had the heart operations, diabetes. I was in horrible physical condition. I hadn't exercised since I was in high school. I had no idea how to start. But I got my dog, and I walked around the block, and I was sweating. I remember I was just sweating, and I sat down on the couch, and I thought, holy cow, I can't even walk around the block anymore. But I felt better. I took an action that was contrary to my thinking. And so I felt better just as a result of walking around the block. And so pretty soon I'm telling both my sponsors, I'm doing this exercise, I feel better. And so make a short story long, I guess. Anyway, I got this other guy, this doctor sponsors, who's a runner. He's a runner. He's a real healthy guy and runner. I hated the guy, and he was just in good shape, always in good shape. And he said, "Why don't you hook up with Chris, and you guys can, go to the track at the high school together?" All right, I'll do it. And so I get up at 5 a.m. This guy worked an early job, so he got up at 5 a.m. He'd go over to the track, which was by my house, and he'd run around that track. And I'd walk over there with him. I'd just kind of walk around, and but I kept going with him. And then pretty soon I found I could walk all the way around that track. I was just elated. I mean, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but it was. And boy, I was just excited. I thought, boy, I'm going to OA, I'm feeling better, and I'm going to do this exercise thing, and walking around this track, I'm walking around this track. And then one day, this guy that I was doing this deal with, this Chris guy, he said, you look better, you're walking around the track and everything. He said, "Why don't you try running around the track once?" And I said, "No, Chris." I said, "You don't understand. I got a heart problem. My cardiologist would never, ever approve of anything like that. He would never approve of it." And he said, "Well, why don't you ask him?" I said, I will. I'm going to ask him, because I want to know part of trying to run. So my cardiologist, a guy named Greg Thomas, he's down in Orange County. He's a friend of mine now. But I went to him, I said, now, Greg, I got these guys that I'm kind of working with, and this one guy wants me to try to start running, you know. And I told him, you would never approve of anything like that. And he took one look at me, and he said, you know, Jim, considering the condition you're in, anything is worth the risk. So off I go, and I'm back at the damn track, and I'm determined. I'm going to do it now. So, sure enough, I run all the way around that track. I mean, I was so excited I couldn't believe it. You know, I told the old doctor, "Man, I'm running now, and I'm getting into this thing." And that was. I didn't like that word exercise. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like it. And so I talked to my sponsor about it, and he said, well, listen. He said, why don't you call it spiritual activity instead of exercise? And then the doctor guy told me, well, why don't you make it part of your 11th step? Then it's not exercise at all. It's just the action you take to activate that step. You see, all 12 of our steps take action. They take an action. They can't stand alone. We take action to make them work. And he said, you can make your running the action part of your 11th step. Your 11th step. And I said, okay, I guess I can do that. And our 11th step, for those of you that are new, is that we seek through prayer and meditation to improve this conscious contact with our higher power. You know, asking for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. And that's just what I did. You want me to run? You better give me the power to do it, because I ain't going to do it on my own. And so I'm doing my running, and it becomes a part of my 11th step. So it's now part of my program. Exercise doesn't stand on its own. It's a distinct part of how I do my 11th step. I spend that time with my higher power doing my 11th step. And so now it's spiritual activity, or 11th step action, whatever you want to call it. And that works really good for me. And I don't run as much as I used to anymore, but I exercise a lot. I run some. I ride my bicycle. But it's all part of my 11th step, you see. So in OA, now OA has some tools of recovery, you know, and two that they missed. One was exercise, for sure, but I think they didn't put that on there because they didn't want to get sued in case somebody had a heart attack. But the other one is prayer, and those two are on the top of my list, prayer and exercise, and they go very well together, and they're two of my most important tools here in OA. So, my health is improving. I'm, of course, losing weight, and I want to say something about weight, because as I said to you, I'm not a food addict. If I'm addicted to anything, it's that act of compulsive overeating. As I say, I never noticed I had any problem eating. It was my problem was stopping. I was addicted to the act of compulsive overeating, and so I want to say this, because weight loss gets a lot of attention in OA, but in my experience here, it's only a symptom. It's just a symptom of what was wrong with me. I lost weight plenty of times. Never did me any good. But as losing weight as a result of being abstinent, that was a whole different thing altogether. So I have a food plan. I have a food plan. I've always had a food plan, and a food plan for me divides the. It's a very distinct line that divides the eating, which is not my problem, because I'm not addicted to food, from the compulsive overeating, which I am addicted to. And without that line, I have no boundary. I have no boundary there, and so. That food plan is critical. It becomes a spiritual tool, because otherwise, if I don't make it a spiritual tool, it's a diet. You can call it whatever you want. A food plan is a diet, period. So, how do I give my food plan spiritual content? Well, very simply, I share it with my sponsor. I go over it with my sponsor. I write it down, and I've had it, it's in black and white in my desk, and I know exactly what it is. And I also share it with my higher power. It becomes then a spiritual tool to get abstinent. Okay? So having a food plan and adhering to it and losing weight has nothing really to do with abstinence. I'll tell you why. If that is not a spiritual tool, in the first place for me, it wouldn't work. And it being a spiritual tool allows me to become abstinent. And then the weight loss becomes is a result of being abstinent. Not a result of adhering to a food plan, but a result of being in a spiritual condition through our 12 steps. So if that makes any sense to you, that's how I see it. Now, there's a distinct... 10 minutes already? So I want to explain to you a little bit the difference between the word abstain, and the condition of being abstinent. Those are two different distinct things altogether, and they get mixed up in here. Abstaining from something is very simple. Any fool can figure that out. You just don't use it. You don't indulge in it. That's abstaining. Abstinence, though, as we speak of it here in Overeaters Anonymous, can only be one thing in my experience, and that is a spiritual condition. Abstinence is a spiritual condition. There is no more explanation to it. That's it, in my experience. Again, I don't know what yours is, but that's mine. So, I certainly have to put down the fork before I can get into that spiritual condition. But abstinence, for me, is and always will be a spiritual condition. And I think as I look through the steps and the 12 steps, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, it spells it out very clearly. It doesn't say having lost 100 pounds or adhered to some crazy food plan or anything of the sort. It says having had a spiritual awakening. And that's what I say, a spiritual awakening. And so, that's how I define abstinence. And let's see. Oh, I want to share a little story about you. When I was new, I'm kind of going all the way back again. But I used to like to, I used to go to the store sometimes after I had dinner, and I'd buy a bunch of stuff so I could eat at late, you know. And I'd buy like one of these great big bags of peanut M&Ms and a 6-pack of Diet Coke. In the hopes that one would cancel out the other. And so I would take that, I'd get that stuff, and I'd get some other stuff, and I'd go along and get all that stuff, and I'd take it home, and then I'd kind of hide it away, and then in the evening, when it was my time to be alone, I could bring it all out and eat it all. So one day I'm shopping with my friend, and he's grabbing stuff off the shelves, and he's opening it and eating it right in the store. And I'm watching this, and I said, that can't be legal. That cannot be legal. So I asked him, I said, what are you doing? You can't open this stuff and eat it in the store before you pay for it. Yeah, you can't. He said, sure, they don't care. He said, just show them the empty bag when you get to the checkout, and they'll discharge you for it. They don't give a shit. And I thought, isn't this a great country? I just couldn't, like, it just opened up a whole new world for me. But anyway, I'm going to stop a little early here because I know you guys like to have questions. I don't know if you have any, and I don't know if I can answer them. But that's always fun. My home group for a long time, and my other program was a workshop, and they would have speakers, and then you could ask the speakers questions. You know, that was the exchange after the, you know, that was part of the meeting format. And so I don't know if you do it as a part of your format, but I know you allow time for it. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So anyway, I don't think I have any more weighty things I want to share with you. If I think of any, I'll let you know. But anyway, let's see if anybody has any questions, and I'll try to answer them. Now, if I can't, somebody else in the audience could field the question. That's kind of the way it works. So anyway, I'll stop there. Thank you. I love you all. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited to be in OA. I I'm a grateful and enthusiastic member of Overeaters Anonymous. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I hope if you're new here, you hook into that enthusiasm. You know, that's what we share best here, is our enthusiasm for this great 12-step program. So thank you very much.
Yes.
Can you please talk about taking the higher power with you as you go throughout your day?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to share a little bit about that. Thank you, Mickey. How I take my higher power with me throughout the day. Yeah, okay. Well, Mickey and I were just talking about this the other night. I alluded to this a little bit with my exercise, but I have found that turning my problems over to my higher power, and with the hopes that he's going to fix them and then give them back to me, I just never had much luck with that. And so I finally figured out he seems to enjoy sharing my problems with me rather than me just giving them to him. And so when there's fear or anxiety, like speaking here, I've got a little anxiety, some fear, I can share that with my higher power, come and take a look at. And he enjoys sharing. He enjoys sharing with me. Enjoys sharing my exercise. And he enjoys, most of all, sharing my meals with me. So when I'm going to eat, please come and join me, be my guest. Share this wonderful meal you've given to me. You know, I only need enough food to nourish me so I can be of service to you. That's all I need. Come and be my partner. That's what my higher power is, my partner. Come and share this meal with me. And the most amazing thing happens. There is no white knuckling in it. There is no fear. There's no anxiety. It's a serene, spiritual undertaking that has a beginning and it has an end. Thank you for this wonderful, nourishing meal you've given me, and I'm off to do whatever I'm going to do. And that worked just great. And I do it every meal. I share my meal with my higher power. There's just no fear or anything going on there at all. And I get my three moderate meals a day I'm sharing with my higher power. Then it occurred to me one day that, what about those in-betweens? In between those things. Because that's when I'm not eating. And so I thought, I'm going to try and engage my higher power also in the in-betweens. And so I do. I engage him in my work. I engage him in my exercise. Come on, share this exercise. And, so forth. I hope that answers your question. I don't know if my higher power is a compulsive overeater or not. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. In 14 years, he has never missed a meal. He has never missed a meal. That I can tell you for sure. So, thank you, Mickey. Anybody else? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it is the spirituality of it. This is a great spiritual fellowship we have here. It describes it in the big book, this spiritual fellowship we have here together. We need each other. We share with each other. The sharing goes on. And that's how I originally picked up on that sharing thing, is that, we share our seventh tradition here. We share our experience, strength, and hope. I'm sharing my 12-step with you right now. I'm carrying you the message of Overeaters Anonymous, whether you want it or don't, but that's my job. I'm sharing that with you. And so that spiritual condition is what I have, has been my big gift here. I've just have a peaceful life. I'm not gnawed at by this horrible disease anymore. And, I found that I can be of service to other people, which is just a gratifying feeling. I often think, you talk to police officers or firemen or people that do very dangerous jobs, even in their experience, it's rare that they get a chance to actually save somebody else's life. That's a rare occurrence for anybody. In here, we do it every time we have a meeting. We're helping to save somebody else's life. What an awesome responsibility we have here, and the power to do that, Johnny Acklin, who I don't know, some of you know, always described this as a a spiritual environment. That's what we have here, a spiritual environment. I like that description. So, I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you, Jim.